Very good to be with you this morning. My wife is with me. Her name is Becky. My 17-year-old daughter, Tabitha, is with us today, and also my son, Luke. He is 2 years old. He was the son that was born out of due season. And so we were not expecting Luke, and so things have been a little bit different in our house since Luke has arrived. But it's good to be with you today. Sometimes we take some important tests. Sometimes in school you take important tests. My daughter yesterday took the SAT, and that's a pretty big deal for high schoolers. And, of course, a few years ago she took a test for her driver's license, and most teenagers consider that a pretty big test. And for a job promotion, sometimes you have to take a test, or in order to get a raise. And sometimes when you're elderly, you're waiting for some important medical test to come by. Well, today I want to give you a test, and it is a test for worldliness in your life. I want to suggest to you it's just as important as those tests that I've just mentioned. I want to see how attached you are to this world. I want to see if you're ready for Jesus to come back and to stand before Him in judgment. I want to see how much of an unspiritual person or a carnal person that you are. Hopefully you're not. Hopefully you're a spiritual individual. But bear with me, and we're going to take this test this morning. The first question on my test is, do you just have an interest in worldly things? Are you just concerned about your work? And going to work every day, and you're focused on your job and those kinds of things. Are you worldly education? Are you focused on going to high school and studying and getting a degree and getting a college degree? Or are you focused on spiritual things and an education of knowing God's Word and reading and studying the Scriptures and learning about what God has to say? Are you focused just on material possessions? Having a nicer house, having a nicer car, having all these material things in this world? Is that your focus? Or are you focused on the heavenly things, spiritual treasures in heaven? Is entertainment your focus? Maybe you like to read secular books, and maybe you're not as concerned about reading the Scriptures, and you're focused on watching TV, surfing the internet, those kinds of things. And so do you have, and sometimes people can get so focused on just the things of this world, and they're not focused on the spiritual things of God, the important spiritual things. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 17, verse number 26. Luke chapter 17, verse number 26. And I want to look at the days of Noah. And it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from the heaven and destroyed them all." Now I want you to look at the days of Noah. Look at what they're focused on. And innocent things. They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're given in marriage. They're just focused on things like what we're talking about up here, the list that I gave you. They're just focused on the various things of the world until the flood came and took them out of the way and destroyed them all. The same was true in the days of Lot. Look at verse number 28. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." They were just focused on the world until the flood came, or until the fire and brimstone came upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. There are a lot of people in our world that that's what they're focused on. They're just focused on the world, worldly things, sometimes innocent things. This list is innocent things that people can be focused on. The list I have before you, innocent things, but they're focused on the wrong things. Now, what I want you to see is sometimes those innocent things, your innocent focuses in life turn into great evil, great wickedness. Now, you know from these two stories probably, what was the world of Noah? What did it end up being like? It was a world that was filled with violence. What was the city of Sodom like? It was a city that was filled with homosexuality. How did we get there? How did we get to that point in the world? How we ended up getting there is because people just had a worldly mentality. And so they weren't thinking about God. They weren't focused upon God and spiritual things. They're just busy with education, work, possessions, pleasure, those kinds of things. And then it turned into great wickedness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, you see this long list of sins from verses 29 and 30 and 31 there. I want you to look at where it all begins. Go back to verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They forgot about God. They're busy with the various things of the world, forgetting about God. And where did it lead? Great sin. Great wickedness. That's where things always lead, when we forget about God in our world. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2. Here's my second question for you this morning. Do you place worldly philosophies above God's teaching? Sometimes worldly philosophies go directly in contradiction to what God has said. For example, God has said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says over in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Now you know what worldly thought is on these various subjects. God says He created everything in 6 days, and the world says, no, it came about by a big bang. It came about by the evolutionary process. It came about by theistic evolution. And this world took millions and millions of years to develop. Now here's the question, who will you believe? Are you going to believe what God has to say? Or are you going to believe what man is saying about these various subjects? That determines whether you are a worldly person or not. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, if you'd like to turn over your Bibles there, in Matthew chapter 19. Then the Pharisees also came to Him, testing Him and saying to Him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? What's the world say about that? Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Of course you can. You don't love the person anymore, you want to get away from them, it's okay to divorce them. It's all fine. But what does God say about this matter? Down in verse number 4, and He answered and said to them, have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Jesus talks about marriage between a male and a female. He says, what God has joined together in that relationship, let not man put asunder. Don't let man divide that relationship. It goes contrary to the thinking of our world that says men and men can marry, women and women can marry. You can get a divorce if you want to. Just any reason is good enough. Jesus only gives one reason down in verse number 9 for a divorce. That's for sexual immorality. And I ask you the question, whose philosophy will you accept? Are you going to accept what God has to say? Or will you accept what man has to say? It determines whether you are a worldly individual. Let's go to the roles in the home in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Certainly this passage runs contrary to what our world is saying about various things. Ephesians 5 verse number 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as also Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What does God say about roles in the home? Wives, submit to your husbands. In how much? What goes on to say? In everything. Husbands, love your wives. How much do you need to love your wife? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. That is a great love that we're talking about here. Turn with me over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse number 24, James 2:24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. That's what God has to say. A person is justified by works, not by faith only. What do our denominational friends say about that? What do the various denominational churches say? They say that a person is justified by faith only, and God says that they're not justified by faith only. Now, who will you believe on the subject? Will you accept what God has to say? Or are you going to accept what this world has to say? It determines whether you are a worldly person. Here's my next question. Do you allow worldly problems to negatively affect you spiritually? You know, everybody in this room probably has a few problems. You may have problems in your family. You may have some problems at work. You may have some health issues going on. So most of us have some problems. Now, how does that worldly problem affect you? Are you praying more or are you praying less? Are you reading your Bible more or are you reading your Bible less? Are you coming to church more or are you coming to church less dealing with this problem? Which is it? I think about Job's wife. Job's wife loses everything along with her husband. She loses her possessions also. She loses her sons. She loses her daughters. Job doesn't lose his faith. He's a spiritually minded person. But his wife gets wrapped up in the world and the problems that are around her. She's losing her faith. Her problem is worldliness. And she has allowed the problems in this world to drag her down and destroy her. What does the spiritual a minded person do in the midst of all their problems? I tell you what they do. They become stronger. When I am weak, Paul says, then I become strong. Paul had some problems, didn't he? He was hungry and thirsty at times. He was in prison. He was beaten. And he says, through the various things that I'm going through, I become stronger. The worldly person does not do that. They're becoming weaker. Their faith is destroyed because the problems that they're facing. I tell you something else. When we talk about a person that's spiritual, they remember that all these things in this world, the problems that they're going through are only temporary. You're dealing with some terrible things in your health, possibly. It's only temporary. You're dealing with problems with your children. It's temporary. All the problems in this world are not going to last forever. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Light affliction, problems, Paul talks about, for a moment, not forever. And we're looking ahead. We're looking ahead for eternal things, heaven, eternal life. And so we need to remember that. We just have to maintain our faith and commitment to God in this world. That's what's important. But many allow themselves to be destroyed by the problems in this world. Question number 4. Are you just like the world? I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 2, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It talks about those that walk according to the course of this world. These are people that are like the world. They are the sons of disobedience. And if they're the sons of disobedience and are walking according to the course of this world, they are the children of wrath, as verse number 3 talks about. Are you just like the world? Do you think like the world on issues of abortion and homosexuality and people living together? Do you think like the world? Do you talk like the world, using the Lord's name in vain all the time, using a bunch of four-letter words when you get angry? Do you gossip all the time? Do you complain all the time? Are you like the world? Do you act like the world? Drink like the world is drinking? On TV, you watch the same smutty programs that the world watches. You read the same smutty romance novels that the world is reading. Are you like them, or are you different? Let's talk about dress for just a second. You try to draw undue attention to your body. Maybe wear something a little low so some of the guys will notice. Show off a little leg. Wear the same swimsuits that the world's wearing. Wearing those immodest things. Are you like the world? The Bible, of course, talks about dressing modestly in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So are you different than the world? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you conformed to the world, or are you transformed? In fact, by being transformed, by being different than the world, you're proving to the world around you what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can the world look at you and say, oh, that's what a Christian is supposed to be like? That's the good attitude that a Christian has when he has problems. That's how a Christian conducts himself throughout the week. Or do they say, that person is just like I am? Are you just like the world? Galatians chapter 5. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is a list of the works of the flesh. This is the works of the world. This is what fleshly, worldly people do. And I ask you the question as we go down through this list that talks about sexual immorality, and it talks about intoxication, and it talks about envy, and it talks about jealousy and those kinds of things. Is that really you? Or are you described as those people that have the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, are you like the people of the world, or are you like the Heavenly Father and like Jesus, His Son? Which is it? Are you a worldly person or a spiritual individual? Question number 5. Do your relationships in the world distract you from your spiritual relationships and commitments? Do they distract you? You know, there's a lot of people that would never miss a day of work. They would never miss a day of school. When something's going on with the family, Monday night, mom and dad supper at their house, they are always there. Every family reunion, they're there. Every funeral, they're there. They always dot every I, cross every T. They're there. They keep up with all their worldly commitments. When the sports team has practice, they're there. The game, always there. The band, when they perform, they're there. But yet, when it comes to spiritual relationships, members of the Lord's church, they sometimes are nowhere to be found. They're horrible. They would never do the things at work, at school, with the band. They would never make the lame excuses that they make to the brethren. And with God saying in Hebrews chapter 10, which I'm sure you're familiar with there, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24, this is what God has said, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Many consider the band, and they consider the sports teams, and they consider the physical family. They're very considerate, but not to the spiritual family. And God says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think about marital conflicts also. The husband is mad at his wife. She always goes out shopping and spending all of this money, and he's on her all the time. And sometimes what is he forgetting about? Loving her. Speaking to her as Christ would want him to speak to her. See, he's wrapped up in the world and what's going on down here, and he's forgetting about what's God think right now of how I'm conducting myself. All the wives she's upset too. He's always going out golfing with his buddies. She's surely not going to submit to him, and she's not going to respect him. And she shows him just how much she doesn't respect him when they get in a fight with one another. And she forgets also about the Heavenly Father watching, forgotten all about her spiritual relationship. That's what sometimes people do in their relationships and in marital conflict. They're forgetting about loving one another sometimes. They're fussing and fighting, and maybe even on the verge of a divorce. They're fussing and fighting, forgetting to pray, forgetting to attend worship services, forgetting to read their Bible, forgetting their spiritual commitments to God, forgetting self-examination, how they need to be changing. They need to be forgiving. They've forgotten all about that. The world got the best of them. I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 with me. I want to look at the difference between a spiritual individual and a carnal individual. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 6. Now it happened, as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman had come out, or the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And so the women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." And then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul is thinking about, everybody thinks how great David is and how many people David has killed. And David is going to steal the kingdom. And Saul is consumed with unspiritual, worldly thinking at this point. He's filled with envy. He's filled with hatred. And then what does he do next? He tries to kill David, throwing a spear at him. He's going to, for years, hunt down David. Now, what is Saul forgetting? He's thinking about David. He's focused on David. And he's forgetting, you can't murder. You're not supposed to be coveting. He's forgotten God's word, forgotten his commitment to God. But I tell you who never forgets his commitment to God. David doesn't. Remember in that cave? David has that perfect opportunity. Here's the guy that hates him and wants to kill him. I can end this thing. And he's being encouraged to end this thing. And David knows that is not the Lord's will. The Lord would not have him kill the Lord's anointed. And so he doesn't. He's thinking spiritually. When Saul is in the middle of that camp, David once again has the opportunity to kill Saul. He's thinking the same thing. I cannot kill the Lord's anointed. I can't murder the king of Israel. It would be wrong. Sometimes people get so wrapped up in this world, forgetting God's word. Husbands get distracted with the complaints against their wives. Wives get distracted with the complaints against their husbands. The wife is consumed with everything going on with their children and in that relationship. The man is involved in work and what's going on in the secular workplace. The children are involved with all these things at school and keeping up with their homework and keeping up with their friends and what's going on there. And who is forgotten in all these various relationships? God is completely forgotten. And sometimes these relationships distract people. Another question this morning. Are you laying up treasures on earth rather than treasures in heaven? Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Many are busy laying up all kinds of treasures for themselves, like this individual. He apparently has been busy planting, and he's been busy harvesting, and now he has this great, all these crops, and he's thinking about, now I need to tear down those barns, and I need to build some bigger barns. And he's thinking about material things. And what is he not focused upon? He's not focused upon seeking God at all. He's busy with secular work. And he's not striving to do the will of God. And he's not busy working for the Lord. And he's not busy improving his character and complying with what God would have him to be. He's not thinking about that. He's just thinking about material possessions and laying up things upon this earth. And what happens to him? He has a whole lot laid up, it seems, over here, right? And then what happens that very night? Tonight your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these things be? He was rich in worldly things, but he is spiritually destitute before God. How many people are described by they work all the time, 24/7, they are company people. And they have thought about budgeting, and they have thought about saving, and they've thought about investing, and they have a lot of insurance, they've got all that taken care of, they're ready for retirement, they've done all this financial planning, they're on first name basis with the financial planner. They've got everything all laid out. And what have they forgotten? How much have they done for the Lord's church? Have they done any personal evangelism? Have they tried to reach their neighbor for Christ? What about helping that person in need? They've forgotten about all these things. They've forgotten about doing things to lay up treasures in heaven. That's what's going on, really. And it's not about money. It's sometimes about our time and our energies, that we're doing things for others, we're serving the Lord, and every time we're doing that, it's just like we've put a dollar in the heavenly bank account, and we're banking the in the spiritual bank there in heaven. We've been trying to teach Luke, our two-year-old, about giving. And so we'll give him a dollar. And the plate comes by, and we're saying, Luke, give. And so a few Sundays, it has been me going like this to get him to give. Well, I think it was last Sunday or the week before, I did that number to Luke, and then Luke went in after the dollar again. Now, that's funny for a two-year-old, but brethren, I think that I've seen some people in the Lord's church that are about that way. They're holding on to the things of this world, and they're not wanting to give to God and lay up treasures in heaven. So how'd you do in my test? Do you just have an interest in worldly things? Do you place worldly philosophies above the teachings of God? Do you allow your problems in this world to negatively affect you spiritually? Are you just like the world? Do your relationships in this world distract you from your spiritual relationships and commitments? And are you just about laying up treasures here upon this earth and have forgotten to lay up treasures in heaven? I think if you honestly answer those questions and you examine yourselves, you're going to find out whether you are a spiritual person and a faithful Christian or you're worldly and whether you're ready to meet Jesus. There's an opportunity that we have spiritual treasures this morning. A person can believe in Jesus Christ and confess their faith before men, repent of their sins, be baptized for the remission of sins, and have all the riches in heaven. Or you can just settle for this life. And you may settle for a lot of material possessions here in this life, but soon sickness is probably going to come and death is going to come. And this life and this world is temporary. And what we have to offer through Jesus Christ is eternal. And you can have heaven and eternal life if you'll just serve the Lord faithfully here and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. If you need to obey the gospel today, please do as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation.